The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones who did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, and of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I figured since this week I was preparing a presentation between services of my sabbatical, I thought, well, I'm in the PowerPoint mode. I might as well go ahead and do my sermon that way too. So, last couple weeks I've been watching online Father Fred and Mother Heather, and doing an awesome job explaining about Jesus being the bread of life. And I felt that Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus about the armor of God just kind of spoke to me this week. And maybe because on my trip, on my sabbatical, I got to see a lot of armor. See? I told you. Lots of armor. Of course, this comes from the medieval castle in Edinburgh, Scotland, and where you would expect to see a lot of armor. We don't see a lot of armor today. That's not something that we are used to seeing. But the people in Jesus' time and Paul's time were used to seeing armor all over the place because that's what the Romans soldiers wore. And even if we aren't around armor anymore, we understand the purpose of armor. Armor is there to protect. But one of the things that kind of was odd for us going through our tours of all the places that we did in Europe was finding a lot of armor in churches. This was in the first church we toured in Salisbury Cathedral, where it is the tomb of a 14th century warrior. And it was, if you've never been to Europe and been to churches in Europe, there's a lot of dead people in those churches, just so you know. There is tombs everywhere. And it wasn't so bad about seeing that. in Salisbury, but then we saw it in when we went to Youghal, Ireland. It's Youghal. I'm not being Texan here. It's pronounced Youghal, and it's in the southeastern coastline of Ireland. And there is a church there, St. Mary's Collegiate Anglican Episcopal Church, built in 1221, that is still worshiping in there. And we actually got to worship in this church. But there was a sword and a case by itself in this church. I'm like, what is that? Well, it turns out it was the first mayor of Youghal, is his sword that was in the case. But the sword used to hang in the nave, in the middle of the nave, on a plate. I guess just in case somebody came and tried to do something, the mayor was there to have his sword ready for them. But probably the most interesting place to find swords and armor was when we went to St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin, which is also an Anglican cathedral. And in that cathedral, along where they had the choir was behind the altar, two rows, they had swords and helmets above the choir members. So I think we need to maybe do some redecorating. I think our maybe we get more choir members if we had swords and helmets back there. I don't know. Maybe not. But yeah, it's like, why am I focusing on all this armor? Well, that's what Paul was talking about in his letter to the Ephesians, at the end of his letter to the Ephesians. We are in chapter 6 of Paul's letter. Now, this is at the end of his letter, and you have to realize that these letters were not, they didn't have chapters and verses when they were written. They were letters to these churches. But we put the chapters and the verses in later on. In chapter 4, at the beginning of chapter 4, Paul makes a change in this letter to the Ephesians. And he talks about how that Christians need to be unified in Christ. And he talks about how we need to do that, how we need to act toward each other, what we should do, what we should not do, and how we should focus on being the children of the light. That the things that we do should be everything that we do. When light is shown on it, we would be proud to have people see it and not be children of the dark, where we hide what we are doing. So that was what Paul was doing. And then we come to the last part where we are reading today, and he says, and finally, after all telling them how we can be united, how we should act, Paul says, and finally, be strong and stand firm and put on the whole armor of God. Now, as I said before, armor is not something that is kind of typical for us. So we need to look at what Paul is talking about when he talks about the armor of God. The first thing is the belt of truth. Now, can we all agree that there are lies and misinformation all around us? Anybody disagree with that? The world is full of it, full of misinformation, disinformation. But God's word speaks the truth. So we need to fasten that as our belt. The second thing that Paul tells us is put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate fits over your heart. The heart is where we have emotions, where we feel like, you know, when we talk about falling for somebody, we talk about heart things. And that's where it's not where the emotions happen, but that's where we put it to. And God protects our hearts to remind us that when others put us down, that we are beloved children of God. The breastplate protects us. The third thing that we are to do is put the shoes to proclaim the gospel of peace. Now, shoes, if you're standing still, really, they might be a little comfortable, but they really don't do a whole lot. It's only when we're moving that shoes protect us. They protect us because we are to be moving. We are to be going out and spreading the gospel of peace to the world. And that's why we need the shoes to proclaim the gospel. The fourth that Paul talks about is the shield of faith. Now, a shield is something you hold in your hand and you can move it in any direction you want, unlike a fixed thing that you have on your body. A shield is there when things are coming at all angles towards you. When you have arrows coming at you and things happening in your lives that are coming at all angles, the shield, your faith, is what will keep you strong. It'll keep you from seeing, it'll keep you to keep seeing the big picture rather than all the things that are coming in from the sides. So that's what the shield of faith will do for us. Now, the helmet of salvation, that's something we wear on our head. How many times have we been our own worst enemies by being in our heads? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah. We can talk ourselves out of things. We can that we're not beloved. We can talk in our heads that we don't deserve things. But God, through our faith, tells us that God will always love us. No matter how much we mess up, no matter where we go, when we repent and come back to God, God always loves us. We have to remember that. That's why we put that helmet on, to remember of God's love for us. And the last one is not, this is not in any order, but it's probably one of my favorites, is the sword of the Spirit, because that's where we do battle with the Word of God. I'll talk a little bit more about that later on, but it is the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, studying the Word of God, that keep us on the path, not of the world, because the world has lots of lies and lots of division, but on God's path. And that's where we need to be as Christians. Now, why do we need this armor? Well, we're not going to be fighting flesh and blood. I know that some of you would probably like to do that, but we're not putting that armor to necessarily go out and do that. What Paul tells us is this armor is to against rulers and authorities. For us, rulers and authorities is our government. Just saying. Against the cosmic powers that pit Christians against non-Christians. We have to remember that we are all children of God, no matter what. We have to keep those communication lines. And the one that kind of troubles my heart more than any is when we are Christians against other Christians. Now, you know, when you come back after 4 months, you hear all kinds of rumors. You know that? You hear about what things are said and what happened, who left, who came, you know, and it's like, sometimes you're like, man, I'm glad I missed that drama. But one of the things I did hear was that CTK, Christ the King, was becoming evangelical. We like to throw out terms and labels to people. But you know what evangelical means? It means spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And I say amen to that. Okay? We are quick to put labels on each other. We are quick to dismiss people that disagree with us. And that when that happens, it can cause all kinds of division in our humanity. I think sometimes it's part of our human nature for division. We find ourselves opposing views, and we forget, if you really look at it, if you're in opposing views with somebody, you have to realize one of two things. Either both are wrong, which is a good possibility, or only one is right. When we focus on division, that's what we end up with. We're always confused. We always don't know where to go. But when we stay on God's path, the division doesn't matter anymore. So division seems to be part of our worldly existence. But Paul tells us that the armor of God combats that in our lives. Now, it happens. I understand why it happens. It happens from probably an early age where division happens. It reminded me this week of a story of my oldest son. Now, I think it was because I'm focusing on armor and things of that sort. My oldest son, and I'm sure he's not watching this because he wouldn't be doing live stream from Dallas on me, so I can tell on him. He might hear it from his brother, who might say, you better tune into this. You got a story on you. Anyway, our oldest son, Andrew, was obsessed with knights and armor and everything to go with knights. He begged and begged and begged, Mom, 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 Johnny, can I have a sword? Oh, Lord. And this is like at 10 years old. Finally, we broke down one year, and we bought him a sword. It was not a real sword. It was metal. It was a replica of the sword. It didn't have the sharp edges, but it was a big sword. And he hung it on his wall proudly in his bedroom with all of his knight pictures and everything else that he had all over his room. It was okay that he had this sword until he was a senior in high school. And he begged for us. He was in band at the time. And it was a very large marching band that he was in. He played trumpet. And he said, Mom, can I have a trumpet party at our house? Okay, 30 trumpet people at our house having a party. Everything was going good until firecrackers started appearing in our backyard, in our front yard, and things were going off, and we're running out, looking what's going on. And pretty soon, I come back in the house, and here goes my son with his sword, followed by all the trumpet people running out of the house with the sword, again running after a car down the street. Turns out that the drums and the trumpets didn't get along in band. And the drum line decided they were going to disrupt the trumpet party. Yeah, by throwing firecrackers. Luckily, I got them all back in the house before the police showed up. Nobody was arrested that night. They didn't know about the sword running down the street. You know, it's one thing to tell your kids, don't run with scissors. Don't run with a broadsword down the street. Not a good thing. So everything actually turned out all right. But my point is, division is kind of part of our human nature. But the Apostle Paul and also the Apostle Peter give us the solution to this division. We need to stand firm. We need to put on the armor of God to keep our path clear. We need to follow God's path, not the path of the world or authority or Satan for sin. We need to follow God's path. Peter and the inner group of disciples were faced with a hard teaching from Jesus where people were abandoning Jesus in our gospel. But Peter stood firm. The 12 stood firm with Jesus and said, Peter said, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. If we put things in perspective, what happens in this world is not of eternal significance. what God teaches us in the Word of God is of eternal significance. That's where we need to put our focus at. When faced with earthly division, our hope is in God. Stand firm with the armor of God. Put it on every single day. For God keeps his promises. God doesn't lie or disappoint like human beings may. God gives us light, love, hope, and peace abundantly. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert for 40 days in the wilderness, it was the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that drove away Satan. The Word of God protects us. It enhances our faith, and that's how we can face anything that this world has put in front of us. We need to remember this, especially in an election year. My goodness. And if you think that everybody in this church believes the same thing as you, I hate to burst that little bubble, but they don't. And so where do we put our focus? We put our focus on God, to whom we can go. And through our faith in Jesus gives us the words of eternal life. What could be more important than that? Stand firm for God's path in the midst of division. Put on the armor of God. Amen.